Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. Now, in his second season, that have rarely, if ever, been done before in the National Football League. This is Inside Indiana Sports Right Now with Kent Sterling. It is Monday, November 15th, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people of Today's Dentistry, Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best at what he does. He is a dentist, pure and simple, a great dentist. You need an advocate for better dental health? Give him a call, 317-849-2933. I did it 28 years ago. I'm never going to another dentist, period, end of discussion. Jonathan Taylor, here's what he is doing. One TD and 100 yards from scrimmage. So that's either running or receiving, right? Those are combined, seven straight games. He is the fourth running back in the history of the National Football League to do this. LaDainian Tomlinson did it eight times in 2006. Fellow Colt, Lydell Mitchell, did it eight times in 1975 and 1976, and Larry Johnson did it seven times in 2005. He already has the fifth most 100-yard rushing games in franchise history with eight. He is tied with Joseph Addai. He is, what's he done? 20 games, I think he played 15 last year. He missed one last year. That's 35 games. And he is doing stuff that nobody is doing in the NFL, and he is tied atop the league lead in rushing yards with 937. He's tied with, of course, Derrick Henry, who's hurt. So there you go. Nick Chubb, also in the top five. He's been hurt. So Jonathan Taylor, not just excellent, but really, really durable. And if not for a terrible holding call yesterday on Reed, Taylor gets credit for another big chunk play, which would have put him obviously into the NFL league lead and really set him up to get to 1,000 yards very, very quickly. He's got a tough game this weekend against Buffalo, baby. Buffalo is a tough, tough opponent. I don't care about the 9-6 loss as they played in Jacksonville against the Jaguars. And by the way, what we see yesterday, don't get it twisted with Jacksonville. We tend to look at Jacksonville and think, Jacksonville, what do they know? They're terrible. Sure, a few years ago, they had an anomalous, really good year where they almost went to the Super Bowl. What were they, 2 minutes and 40 seconds away from going to the Super Bowl or something like that? This is a decent football team that is quickly becoming good. Urban Meyer does not lose. I know we like to look at Urban Meyer, and we're like, Urban Meyer, you know, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. But you know what? The guy wins everywhere he goes. And yesterday, there were hints of future goodness, if not greatness, from the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the AFC South, you may not have automatically four walkover games, and in fact, you don't, you didn't. The Jaguars and the Colts have split their two games in each season for the last three seasons. Frank Reich, well, now it's a little bit better for Frank Reich. He's 4-3 against the Jaguars, but they've got that game to end the season. You better put this thing away and get yourself in a position to be in the playoffs before you get to that final game, or I think you got trouble. I think that the Colts are going to find it very, very difficult to win that final game of the regular season against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And with Mike Vrabel and Urban Meyer, Frank Reich, you know, he's all right. The AFC South is quickly becoming a division with good coaching. Still got the Texans. Knock wood, they don't get that thing fixed ever. If they get that thing fixed, the Colts could be in real trouble. Darius Leonard, by the way, passed Robert Mathis for sixth place all-time tackles in Colts history with 484. How about that? Darius Leonard, now in, what is this, his fourth season, right? Fourth season? He's 3.5 years in. He's got 484, or passed Mathis with 484 tackles. And Bobby Okereke is playing really good football. Every single week, like the last 4 weeks, Okereke atop the leaders for the Colts in tackles. Nice game again yesterday for Okereke. Really good game, too, for Kwity-Paye and Dayo Odangbo. Those two guys, you know what, showed hints of what the future may hold for the Indianapolis Colts. And it's bright with that defensive front. You combine those guys with DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart, and you got a front four that's really, really pretty good. Yeah, Okereke, Walker, I like Anthony Walker from Northwestern. All right, good football player. Stuck his nose in there, stopped the run. He was a good run-stopping Mike. Okereke can cover a little bit better than Walker could, and Okereke has figured out how to stick his nose in there and make plays. That interception last weekend to salt away the game against the Jets was absolutely huge. Every bit as big as what happened yesterday with Dayo Odangbo and Kamoko Ture. Odangbo forced the fumble, and then Ture jumped on it. Anyway, the Colts are in 10th place in the AFC. Seven go to the playoffs. You've got the four division champions, and then you've got three wild cards. And right now, the teams ahead of the Colts for those wild card berths, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Bengals, they're all ahead of the Colts. Chargers, Raiders, and Bengals by a half game. Patriots by one game. And then the Steelers, because they had a tie yesterday, it's kind of a full game, but it's weird because they're 5-3-1 while the Colts are 5-5. So maybe it's a game and a half. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's going to be really difficult for the Colts to put themselves, even though they're just a half game back. It's going to be really difficult for them to get over the hump and get into that wild card spot, and I will tell you why. Yes, the Raiders are falling apart, and that's a good thing. The Steelers, over the next three games, they play the Chargers, the Bengals, and the Ravens. And by the way, the Colts are also tied with the Browns and the Bengals. So don't count the Browns and the Bengals out. The Colts have the tiebreaker, not the Browns and the Bengals, the Browns and the Broncos. Don't discount their chances. And don't discount the value of that AFC, that conference record tiebreaker, which is in peril this weekend in Buffalo. That's why of the three tough games they've got left, and they've got more tough games left, right? But the three real tough games left against top five competition, against the Bills this weekend, up in upstate New York, then back here against the Bucks, and a Christmas Day matchup in Glendale, Arizona, against the Cardinals. If you're going to win one of those games, please make it this weekend against the Buffalo Bills because it's an AFC game. It's a conference game, and you need that conference win to continue to bank AFC wins and put yourself in a position to win a tiebreaker, which is almost inevitable. Regardless, we know what the Colts have over the next three. Right, Colts are at Buffalo. They got the Bucs here, and then they've got the Texans. You got to win two of those games. Texans, I think that one, you just say, okay, we got that one in our pocket. So you got a split against the Bills and against the Bucks. Bucks on the road, not so good. Bills in Buffalo, really good. They've lost two games over the last two seasons in Buffalo. Those games against the Steelers this year in the opener and last year against the Chiefs. You got to be really good to beat Buffalo. Buffalo defensively is really, really good. So what are your chances in this game? And then we'll get into a more granular breakdown of what's going on in the AFC and why this is kind of a tough putt for the Colts coming from 10th trying to get to 7th. Run the football. Maybe you get a chunk play with Jonathan Taylor. Try to turn the Bills over. If you can get Josh Allen to throw it to you or put it on the ground, that would be a really, really good thing. If you can find points, like the Colts found points yesterday with that punt block and scoop and score for E.J. Speed, that was critical to that win, right? Colts are going to have to do something similar this weekend in order to get over on the Buffalo Bills because scoring in a conventional way is going to be really, really difficult. They are a terrific defense. Even that loss that the Jaguars hung on them, the Jaguars threw up 9 points is all. Colts going to have to score more than 9 points. The weather, going to be kind of soupy. But look, you know what? The weather, I think, is reason for optimism for the Colts. And we'll get into more reasons for optimism on Optimism Wednesday. However, and I wouldn't normally say this because the Colts are built to play in a dome, right? But when they went to San Francisco and played the 49ers, they looked like they benefited from the weather disproportionately compared to the 49ers who were at home. The bad weather was really in their favor. What I've seen is cloudy, maybe a chance of showers, a high of 39 on Sunday. A little bit cold, a little bit unpleasant. At any rate, we know what the Colts have got to do. They got the Bills, the Bucks, and the Texans. The Steelers, they have the Chargers, Bengals, and Ravens, three potential playoff teams, which is good in that though that's tough competition, and maybe two of those teams can beat the Steelers. However, they're playing three potential playoff teams, so somebody's got to win those games. And that's not good for the Colts. What the Colts would rather have happen is everybody lose. But if you're playing each other, everybody can't lose. The Patriots, they've got the Falcons. That's a W. Falcons stink. They're terrible. Patriots are going to beat the living hell out of the Falcons, but then they got the Titans and the Bills. They could lose those two games, maybe just one of them. Gives the Colts a bit of an opening. The Chargers have the Steelers, Broncos, and Bengals, three potential playoff teams. Raiders, Bengals, Cowboys, Washington football team. You would assume that the Raiders are going to be able to beat Washington, but who knows? The Bengals and Cowboys are going to be tougher. Cowboys are going to be really difficult for them to beat. The Bengals have the Raiders, the Steelers, and the Chargers. The Colts have games against the Patriots and against the Raiders. So the Colts kind of have things in their own hands as in terms of getting a win against a team that they'd like to hang with a loss and win the head-to-head tiebreaker against those two teams. But the Raiders are coming apart at the seams, right? And the Patriots, though, they're headed in the opposite direction. They're headed in a good direction, despite the fact that you never heard of any of these guys playing for them. Bill Belichick can coach. It wasn't just Tom Brady. Let's talk about college basketball. Trace Jackson Davis, Big Ten Player of the Week for the third time in his career, the last time the week of January 11th, 2021, just a little bit earlier this year. He averaged 20, 10 and a half, and 5 blocks. Like I said, his third career Player of the Week. IU's got St. John's at 9 o'clock on Wednesday night on Fox Sports 1, following Butler hosting Michigan State. And by the way, the IU game is going to be at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. So you've got two really good games, same network, same geography, very nice doubleheader for people in central Indiana. Butler's going to have to prove that, you know what, with this game against Michigan State, we're going to see what Butler is. And then with the game against St. John's, we're going to see what Indiana is, because St. John's looks to be, through two games against, let's face it, bad competition, St. John's looks pretty competitive. Purdue, tomorrow night, they've got Wright State. And you think, what are they doing? Playing Wright State, Indiana State. They're playing a bunch of teams with no chance to beat Purdue. Well, on Saturday at 4 o'clock, you got Purdue and North Carolina. It's going to be a tough one for the Boilermakers. We're going to learn what they've got early this season when they play that game. That doesn't mean a lot toward March, but it might mean something in terms of seeding for the NCAA tournament. Pacers are at the Knicks tonight, 7:30 at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks, 3.5-point favorites. The last time these two teams met, it was at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Pacers won that game 111-98. Miles Turner was on fire. He hit 7 of 10 three-pointers. He was terrific. He had 25 points, 13 boards, 3 blocks. Goga had a nice night, too. Not an all-star night, but a nice night. He had 8 and 3. Hey, it was a 13-point game, right? Goga's points, instrumental. We'll see if T.J. McConnell can keep it going for the Pacers. Should be a really, really fun game. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's been a while since I've looked forward to Pacers games, but they've won some games recently. They're now 6-8. They got this game. Then they've got a game against Detroit. They got a game against Charlotte. And then they come home to play the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Pelicans are terrible. So if you can win this game, you got a good shot against Detroit. You got a good shot against Charlotte. And then New Orleans all of a sudden you could put together a little mini winning streak, get this record up to 10-8, and see what's going to happen for the Indiana Pacers when LeVert and Brogdon both play. This is a pretty good team. Tomorrow morning, Breakfast with Kent. We'll recap everything that happens tonight. I can't wait. We watch right there on that little Philco. And hopefully it's all glorious tonight with the Pacers win. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. I can't wait. Breakfast with Kent, bright and early, sometimes even before 7 in the morning. You know what? The early bird catches the worm, baby. Early is good for business.